All right, so a couple of years down the road, you step off of a bus. You squint as the sun rises, you know?
It was like a city bus or like a Greyhound.
A greyhound.
Oh, so I'm taking a trip. Where am I going and that I'm taking a bus?
You are going to Madison, Wisconsin. And
Okay, why am I not like flying there?
you have arrived. You're just trying to save some cash. But you're starting to think that you're start you, you know, you haven't been doing too well lately, Aaron. I'm not gonna lie to you, but you're starting
What
to
does
think.
that mean? What do you mean I'm not doing too well lately?
So this is a few years
And
down
I'm
the road.
trying to like save cash.
So this is a few years down the road. In the interim, you were doing stand-up comedy. Things were going pretty well, you know. Starting to do more paid spots around town. There's like a local comedy website that covers LA comedy, and they're like they wrote like a profile on you, and that kind of like raised your status level. It's the
Oh,
name,
wow.
yeah. It's a website that chronicles comedy, and it's called The Compiler,
Ooh.
and it compiles all the different, not everything, but pretty. But they try to compile everything about LA comedy on their website, and so it's a very popular site. So they profiled you. Things were going pretty well. People bring you up, and your next comedian has been featured on the compiler. And then people would go like, "Oh my God, is it? Is it?" And then they'd be like, "Aaron Brooks."
Oh wow, so the compiler definitely has like sway amongst comedy audiences in LA.
It absolutely does. Yeah,
Okay.
it absolutely does. What happened was, you won tickets to go to the Masters.
Okay, I won that little lottery. I'd probably go with my, I would take my brother 100%.
Yeah, you and your brother go. You won it. You went to a
Jared.
you went to Jared because the Jared by your apartment has like a pharmacy.
Wait,
And
the Jared. Wait, my brother's name is Jared.
right, but you said
Are
you
you
went to
talking about
Jared's.
the? Yeah, I would go to my brother, Jared.
Oh, I thought you meant Jared, the jeweling
The
store.
jeweler? Why
So
the fuck
you,
am I going to the jeweler? I'm
because
buying a
there,
brooch for my brother to go to the
so,
Masters? What are we doing?
no, so what happened was you went to Jared's and then you went to the back of it because they have like a old school, like 1950s ass, like diner slash pharmacy. You know what I'm talking
Get
about?
soda jerk,
Yeah, the soda jerk.
the bicarbonate.
Oh, absolutely. And there are, they make like malts and
Yeah.
fucking shakes and stuff like that. And you went there because you had to get like anti-diarrhea medicine.
Wait, why is there a fucking diner soda jerk pharmacy at the back of a jewelry store? That's Jared.
So like so the reason that they did that is, they were just thinking kind of a cool, not necessarily rebrand, but sort of an expansion on their core, whole thing is, why not try to bring back, in these crazy times, the
What a fucking
simplicity,
awful idea.
the simplicity of, an old school pharmacy,
Let's make them walk through a jewelry store to get to it.
That's part of it, is they're like, you what happens is people, their reasoning is like this. People go to jewelry stores to do what? Buy jewelry. But that makes them, kind of nervous. And sometimes they feel kind of strange about it. Sometimes they're openly hostile. So to kind of calm people down, they have this thing in the back, this pharmacy where, if you want something sweet to kind of make your mood a little bit better, or maybe like yourself, you need some anti-diarrhea medicine, you can just go to the back. that's, you know, I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying this is what they did.
Oh, nobody's saying it's a good idea.
No, no. You pass
what
by.
A horrible idea.
You pass by.
What's the pharmacy called?
It's an untitled pharmacy. What happened was you go to the back, the soda jerk, you kind of like nod at him and say hello. He just kind of like grunts.
Great. What great service. I'm glad that they're here to ease my pain and my anxiety.
He's kind
and
of
my diarrhea.
He's kind of a jerk. You pass by him.
Jesus.
You go and you buy, they have like, you know, the different medicines. So you get, it's called Diarrhea No More. And so you bring it.
What,
it's just
is
like,
this pills?
They're pills. Yeah, they're bright pink pills. And they stop your diarrhea in its tracks. So you go there and you purchase it. And like this alarm goes off when you purchase it. And they're like, they go, holy shit. Holy shit. Holy
Who's saying this?
It's like this thing where the ceiling opens up and there's like balloons and confetti. And there's like an alarm, like a red light going crazy. And it turns out that you happen to be the 1,000,000th person to purchase Diarrhea No More that this year alone. And so your prize is you get to go to the Masters and like your picture is taken. It's put in the paper. It's put in the store, too. It's like you're like shaking hands with like the person who sold it to you. They're holding it up like it's like a winning lotto ticket, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
In the background, the soda jerk just fucking skulks.
What a brick. Fuck you. That's what I say to him as I leave.
He doesn't even respond.
Good.
So you win tickets to go to the Masters. So ironically enough, you bring your brother Jared to it. And you guys are watching, and it gets to like the final hole of the Masters. There's this new hotshot golfer on the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dex Cannons.
Dex Cannons?
Yeah.
Plural? Cannons?
Cannons.
Man, this guy must hit it a mile. Sounds like he hits it a mile.
Dude, his arms are huge.
Yeah. This guy's bombing it, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Long off the tee.
It's actually like the longest that you've ever seen in your fucking life. Like this guy is tearing it up. And so it's like the final, you know, the final hole. If he, you know, if he sinks this hole, he wins.
He wins a Masters. Dex Cannons. What's his temperament like? Dex Cannons. You kind of get the impression that he's like a overconfident. He's very confident, you know, cocky.
The thing about
but like
Dex,
with reason to be.
So that's the thing is that his thing is when people call him out on it, he goes, you know, look, I know it's going to make it sound like a dick, but like it's not really arrogance if you can back it up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he backs it up. Dex Cannons. But he does, you know, but he's not like one dimensional, you know, he does have a softer side. He does extensive charity work it's a charity called Children Who Just Kind of Suck. It's a charity that helps children who, I mean, you know, it's right there in the title, kids who just for whatever reason, through no fault of their own, they're just lame as fuck and no one, you know, they got no friends. They got nothing. No one's into these kids. And so
what are their families?
Well, that's the thing. The families are the ones who enter them, you know?
So but what does that mean? Are they like giving up custody of this child because they suck?
No, it's just like he just does like personal appearances and like hangs out with them. And then people see it and they're like, oh, my God, it's Dex Cannons. That kid must be cool. It works 100% of the time.
Clout.
And he is the thing that is his fucking arms is that he is recognizable like from behind. That's how big this guy's fucking arms are.
Man, this guy's pumped.
Yeah. He's about, you know, he's about 6 feet tall. So he's like, you know, a little tall, but he's not like, it's just that his arms are so big.
Is like the rest of him muscular as well? Or there are these like arms, like they're out of proportion.
Way out of proportion.
Whoa. So he's, is he like just like a skinny guy other than these huge arms?
I wouldn't call him skinny, but I mean, I wouldn't call him fat. I'd call him just like an average man with fucking cannons for
huge
forearms.
Pipes.
Yeah. And so
are his biceps big too, or just his forearms?
He's been working on his biceps, but no, I mean, I'll tell you this. He's athletic. You know what I mean? It's not like, sure. The rest of
he's
his
like
body
Popeye.
Is. Yeah, he's definitely athletic, but the focus clearly has been on, you know, the guns.
Oh, the forearms specifically.
Yeah.
Not as much the biceps.
I just want
to make sure.
Yeah, the biceps are like, you know, large, but they're proportion. The forearms are very large.
Okay.
So.
What an absurd set of arms.
So. He goes to like hit the shot and like it's dead silent. And you like fart really, really, really loudly right as he goes. And it like he goes like, like as you fart. And he it goes like, you know, the ball goes wild. And of course, he doesn't win. And like everyone just like stops and like looks at you and you just like turn beet red. Especially because you're wearing like a shirt that you used to sell on the road. It has your face and it says, it's supposed to say I farted, but they fucked it up and it says I fat red instead. So you fart, you're wearing that ridiculous shirt. Everyone like stares at you. Like it's so obviously you, you know what I mean? And so like, it's not like you get in trouble. It's not like you meant to do it, but because of this, they do institute a rule now at the Masters, just no farting at all.
No farting at the Masters.
There's no farting at the Masters anymore. Yeah.
How are they going to police that?
Well, I mean, they have, they have people who go around and make sure that people aren't farting. Like it also applies to the players too.
I mean, what if somebody sneaks off a silent one? Like, I don't think they could enforce this.
The silent ones are the most deadly ones. If you are caught doing a silent but deadly, like you are banned. If you fart and you, like, depending on the severity of it, like it ranges from them saying like, "Hey man, like first and only warning," to like you're gone and you're banned forever.
All right, they sell an egg salad sandwich at the Masters. Why are they going to do that? And like expect people to not fire any off.
So here's the deal.
You know. Do they take the egg salad sandwich off the menu? Otherwise,
the no farting thing is people all agree that's, you know, a little absurd and like it's really hard to police. However, because of this, the egg salad sandwich is taken off the menu. And
Holy shit. People
are not happy with you.
This isn't my fault. This is a gross overreaction to a gross action.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it is for sure. But, you know, it happened and it's because of you that this happened. So it's people are a little, not happy with you. And so. You fucking get off of that bus and you kind of like. Take a deep breath, you know. And you're like, you smell that. Pine on the air of Madison, Wisconsin, and you think to yourself, this is the weekend I turn it all around, because you, my friend, are going to Motocon.
Fuck is that? What in the world is that?
You have since become a motivational speaker where
Motocon as in motivational con.
Yeah. And so
you've
since become a motivational speaker and you go around like talking to people about, you know, you went through this thing where you farted and it ruined this guy's career. Like he never recovered from it mentally. And you
Dex Cannons?
Yeah, Dex Cannons is finished. And so you have just started doing this, and you talk about how low you felt after and how you kind of built yourself, you know, back up and learned to love again, you know? And so I'm not going to say that your reach is like huge, but you've started to kind of work this act at like various places.
Oh man, this feels like an act.
You do it at like and at first you do it pro bono, you know, you go to like some high schools and you just talk to them about the dangers of farting in public, stuff like that. And you slip in your motivational stuff and you kind of start to put together an actual, you're kind of finding it similar to building your stand up act. You're kind of realizing the rhythms and realizing what stuff goes better with what stuff, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so you've started to play like adult theaters. So
like adult theaters, because you said I was working with high schoolers. You saying like normal regular theaters, or like
I mean like regular
pornography?
No, yeah, I don't know why I phrased it like that. I mean like theaters where there's like that adults go to watch, like a learning center, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
That. Yeah, more like that than a theater, okay. I guess. Sorry.
Like a community center kind of place.
Yeah, it is a community center, and but I'll tell you, they do have an adult theater in there. They have an adult section of the community center.
They're putting on like live nude plays, like.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you don't go in, you know, you feel kind of weird about the whole thing. So you go to this convention in Madison, Wisconsin, Modicon.
That sucks.
You kind of go there and you're there to listen to some people give some presentations. They're there to kind of motivate you a little bit. You know what I mean? Who motivates the motivators? You say that out loud to yourself as you saunter into the fucking convention center. You're also there to kind of pitch yourself. You know what I mean? Like you have, you know, your own like kind of booth set up where people come over and you can kind of hawk your products. Like you've written some, you know, it's all self-published, but you've actually sold a few, like, you know, books about how to motivate yourself, kind of your own story. And you mix in, you know, your own homespun wisdom. You know?
Oh man.
So you're there at Modicon, and there are some pretty, I mean, there are some people there that you've never heard of, and there's some people there who have no talent whatsoever and they're not motivating at all. But there are some pretty heavy hitters there.
Yeah, like who? Who's the heaviest hitter in the motivation scene that's there?
Dennis Henman. Dennis Henman was born as a skeleton.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Fucking skeleton. He had no heart, he had no brain. How did he survive?
Well, that's kind of his big motivating story, is how he survived being born only as a skeleton, and kind of how he learned, he motivated himself to, you know, he, if you looked at him now, dude, you would have no idea if you didn't know who he was. Like, he's managed to turn his life.
What does that even mean?
He just looks like a normal.
Does he have skin?
Yeah. He looks like a normal human now. And he tells his story. And it is well documented, too. Like, there are some people who, when he first came out, people were like.
Himself.
Say again?
He motivated himself at birth into a sentient pile of bones that somehow gained organs, a musculature, skin, hair.
As a side effect. As a side effect of his condition, and it's not, they're never really sure like why this is, like what the connection is, but he remembers every moment of his life.
Jesus
from,
Christ.
From birth up into the. Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, man. What a fucking prison. Well, I remember a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, but man.
Well, you know what, Aaron? He doesn't see it that way. And he'll be glad to talk to you. He'll talk to, like, he's the type of guy where he'll walk into, like, a coffee shop to get something, and someone will go, like, oh, you know, Mr. Hammond, let's, you know, holy shit, like, I'm so sorry to bother you. And he's like, oh, no.
Like, holy shit.
He'll talk to them, and, like, yeah, if they have a problem, like, he'll talk to them about it. You don't give a fuck. He will be.
He used to be nothing but bones.
And now, and his whole thing is, when you have flesh, it's the best. Live your life.
Everybody has flesh. You're the only person who didn't have flesh for even a little bit.
But that's the thing.
Everybody else has always had flesh. Like, dude, what a fucking stupid statement.
No. That's his whole thing, is that, like, you know, I was born without flesh, and I always looked at the people who were born with it. I was angry. I'm going to be honest with you. This is, like, a thing that he gives in his presentation at Moticon. He's like, you know what? I was angry. I would see people who just had just flesh of their own that they didn't, you know, they had anything to do with.
So did he all of a sudden,
he resented them. He resented them. And then one day he was able to kind of change his point of view, where he goes, I motivated myself out of spite when I should have done it out of self-love. And that's kind of his whole thing, is that if I can will myself to grow skin.
So he grew it.
Then that's, you can do anything. Yeah, he motivated himself.
So he motivated himself from a literal pile of nothing but bones, and he motivated his body to grow organs and muscles and skin. He motivated himself to do that, to create all of that, and his body slowly filled out. Was it like an instant fill out, or did this happen over like a long period of time?
It happened over many years. It took a long time. You know, so he just walked around, and he was a sentient, you know, skeleton and stuff, and he could still talk, and, you know. But it was his life was not easy.
He doesn't have a fucking brain.
His life was not easy.
Yeah, Pat. He had no organs.
And his thing is, you know, and he used to, like, he'd go outside and the kids would go, like, you know, bony bones, got no skin upon his nose. And they'd throw, like, rocks at him and stuff. And so his thing is, like, you know, if I can learn to love myself, then I think anyone can. And he's like, and he really means it. That's the thing, is that he really does mean it. So
I don't give a fuck about this guy's perspective. I don't care about him motivating. I want to know how he went from a pile of bones to a normal person with everything else.
Well, he's not like a pile of bones. He's like a baby. He comes out as a baby, but like a baby skeleton. Like, he's like cry and walk around. Yeah, and, like, you know, crawl around and shit like that. He's just like anyone else.
He's
just
right away.
So you're at a Moticon, and you have your booth set up, and you know, you do talk to some people, but you don't make, like, any sales. And, like, you definitely hand out your card out to people, but people are kind of like, oh yeah, like they act like they're interested, but you know in your heart that they're not.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah. The guy next to you is fucking, he's like, he sold probably like 500 of his books that
great
day. Yeah. The guy that left you, he goes, man, it is like shooting fish in a barrel. People are walking by, they'll scoop up his, they won't even look. They'll, like, just grab his book and, like, throw, like, you know, money at him and stuff.
Great. Good for him.
He looks at you, he goes, fish in a barrel. So, that night, you're like, you're not feeling too good. And so you, like, before you go back to your hotel, you're like, fuck it. I'm just going to go find, like the greasiest, like, you know, like,
oh yeah,
comfort food that I can find. You know what I mean?
I'm very depressed. Yeah.
Yeah. They have, like, all the different types of, like, fast food, you know, places there. Which one would you hit up, do you think, if you had your choice?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, we're talking about volume, right? This turns into a volume question.
Yeah, it's absolutely an issue of volume.
Oh, man. It's volume. I got to think Taco Bell. Sure. Just because they got a lot of things for a little money and you can just order a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You know?
So you go there, you hit up the Taco Bell. You get like a bunch of tacos. You get like some soda, some water. Drive back to your hotel. You walk up to room 666.
Great.
You sit down. And you turn on the TV. You're like, as you unwrap your food, and you're like, I'm just going to watch like chunks and like just go to sleep and
yeah,
fly back home, whatever. So like you start eating, you start watching, and like right as like the theme music is like about to start playing, you just hear, "Hey, Aaron."
Oh, no.
Hey, Aaron. I'm down here, buddy.
Oh, no.
And you go, what the hell? And you look down, and in the water, it's like they're doing this new thing at Taco Bell where they're doing like, you ever had like cucumber in water?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they're kind of doing that. But when you look down, they must have like had some kind of like mix up or something, because instead of a cucumber in your water, there is a dill pickle.
Oh, gross.
And you kind of are like, yeah, that's what you think. You go, oh, gross. And you go to like grab it to get it out. But when you go to grab it, you see that now it has like googly eyes.
Yeah.
And like a big smile.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, huh? And you kind of like rub your eyes. And now it has like a thick jet black pompadour at the top of that fucking pickle head of him. And he's wearing, it looks like he's wearing like a leather jacket. Like the sleeves are like empty, you know what I mean? But it's that kind of thing where the leather jacket kind of floats around him almost.
Sure.
He smiles at you. His smile like extends off of his like face.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, Aaron, it's me, Dill the Dill. And I'm here to get you out of your pickle. He goes on to explain that he is part of this thing called the Pickle Clan. The Pickle Clan is this like almost intelligence network of pickles across the globe where they share information. He goes,
Jesus Christ.
He goes, Aaron, we're a lot more powerful than you think. He goes, I can make everyone forget about the farting video, Aaron. I can make it all go away. And you look down, and it's almost like the pompadour is like, even, you didn't think this was possible. It's even thicker than it was before.
Jesus Christ.
For a moment, it's so dark and it's so jet black that for a moment you think of like stars dying. You know what I mean? You think to yourself, if the sun was any closer to this thing, it would get sucked into it.
Oh, shit.
And like you kind of shiver, but the good kind.
Ugh.
So he goes, Aaron, we can make everyone forget about that. We can make it so that your life goes back to what it was before, buddy. You just gotta do one thing.
What's that?
You gotta kill a man.
Jesus, who am I killing, Bill?
So he tells you that there's this serial killer who's been going after golfers. Specifically ones that are really, really good at putting. It's called the Short Game Slayer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What he does is he goes to, various.
The Short Game Slayer?
That's what the media calls him. And so he, like I said, he targets putters, basically, people who are really, really good at it. And so he goes from, different tournaments, some of them as big as, he hasn't hit the Masters quite yet, but, you know, he's hit like some pretty big deal games, you know, but he's also hit some smaller ones too. So like, it's really hard to like predict this guy's next move.
All we know is that he's going after people who can play well.
And there are some people, and it is getting in people's heads. There are some golfers who will intentionally add a few strokes to their game at the end, like to, like they'll purposely not, they'll purposely not get the ball in. They'll just like hit like three or four times, then they'll get it in. Especially if they're like way ahead, they'll just think to themselves, "Hey, man, it's," and like the odds of them getting killed are very slim. But like,
sure, they go, "Hey, man, take a chance."
They go, "Look, I got a wife and kids," you know. They interview one of the guys who did it, Bart Marone, and he goes, "Oh, I got kids, I got a wife to feed." So what I got a wife to feed.
Bart Marone, they have a complicated relationship with women.
He does. I'm not going to lie to you. He absolutely does. It's definitely like the whole the Madonna whore thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you know, but that's really neither here nor there. So basically, he explains that, you know, the short game slayer. He goes, "We know where he is, Aaron. You can stop him. You can be redeemed." And he like his eyes like grow even bigger for just a second. He raises his eyebrows, and it's the thing where the eyebrows kind of hover, like, almost like a cartoon. It hovers like above his head. You know what I mean? For a little while.
Yeah.
And that pompadour remains inscrutable.
Ugh. I think I'd say, "I'll help. I want tickets to the Masters every year for my brother and I. And I want that egg salad sandwich back on the menu. And I want the no farting rule removed."
He kind of like, he just like looks at you. His smile gets even bigger. He goes, "You got it, buddy."
"I want Dex Cannons back on the tour."
He nods. He goes, "Of course."
"All right. Where is he? Who is he? Wait, tell
so
me."
He's staying at a nearby Ramada Inn.
Okay. I know my way around a Ramada.
And that's the thing. Like he kind of like nods to the closet in the hotel, in your hotel room. And when you open it, there's like a Ramada Inn employee like costume hanging there.
Okay.
On the name tag, it says Aaron, but like it's like crossed out and it says like Doug above it. You just take all it right off. You're like, that part probably.
Yeah, and probably so I don't need it.
You look down at Bill the Dill, and he's like slowly kind of turning back into like a normal pickle, you know?
Yeah.
He goes, "All right, Aaron, you know what you have to do. Do. You blank.
I get a spoon. I get him out of that soda as soon as possible."
Yeah. You blank. He turns back into like a regular Dill. Floats down to the very bottom of the fucking cup. You get a spoon, spoon it out.
Also, what item at Taco Bell has pickles? Has dill pickles? That's not like a Taco Bell topping.
Well, they have like cucumbers, and so they, I guess, like a pickle.
Okay. They got a cucumber thing now?
Well, yeah, they put cucumbers in the water.
Okay.
Which I will say is very refreshing if you've never done it.
Yeah, it's nice. It really is.
You kind of think about that cucumber water as you're like making your way to that Ramada Inn, and you think you just left it back there, and you think to yourself, that'll be part of the reward.
Okay, a little bit of edging myself.
Oh yeah,
fast food edging.
So you go to the Ramada Inn. He's staying at the 30th floor.
It's a big Ramada. That's a lot of Ramada.
Yeah. So you go up to floor 30. Bill the Dill has left you like a you're like one choice of weapon. What would it be?
Yeah. Probably some sort of a pistol with a silencer on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to touch him. I don't want anything that's like super personal like that.
Right.
I'd probably just do my best to shoot him and run away.
So you go to
immediately.
You go to his hotel room that he's staying in.
Yeah.
Room 8. Walk up to it. What do you do? Like, how do you get in? What's your plan? You hear like there's like a TV inside.
I would ask, could I like find like a dining cart or something?
Yeah, there's actually one like there's one across the hallway from you that like someone left there for like the person to get, and I guess they just never came back for it.
It's like the cart.
The cart, yeah.
I think I would grab the cart and I would knock on his door and make it look like I was delivering something. If this person is unsavory by nature, they probably like would accept food from like room service or whatever that wasn't theirs, you know.
Sure. So
I think I would ring the bell.
So you walk
I would have my pistol.
Huh?
I would have like one hand on the cart and the other hand on the other side of like the serving dish, but to where they couldn't see it, but I would have my pistol in that hand.
Okay. So you grab that cart, you wheel it over. The wheels just like they as you like push it across the carpet, they do not make a sound.
Okay.
You get to room 8.
Yeah.
You set that fucking pistol down.
Yeah.
And it's weird because you thought that the adrenaline would be driving you crazy. You thought that your heart rate would just be pounding. But brother, you are as ice cold as that fucking glass of water waiting for you back at your hotel.
Oh, shit.
He opens the door. In the background, the TV's on. It's an episode of Chunks he was watching. He's just some guy. He looks completely normal. He's got brown hair. He's just wearing like a shirt that says that says fuck you.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Who the fuck are you?"
I'd say, "Oh, did you order room service, sir?"
He goes, "Oh, I don't know what's in it." He like goes to like grab one of the plates that has like a thing on top of it to like take it off. You know what I mean?
And when he does, I have my gun pointed right at him, and I go, "Man, would I even say anything?" I don't know. I don't think I would say a cool line. I think I'd be too afraid. I think I would just like shoot him.
So. He goes to like grab and like pick up one of the tray things or whatever, and you just do what you just fucking shoot him in the heart like 4 times.
Yeah.
And he just like slide like hit does the thing where he hits the wall and just like slowly slides down. And you for the rest of your life, you will swear that you saw his soul leave his body.
Yeah. Man, like but a ghost.
Yeah, but his soul was dark and twisted.
I think I would push the cart into the room and close the door.
You do. You look up. It's a rerun of Chunks that you've already seen. It's an episode where Howie and Chip are they like they'll take like a white Ford Fiesta and they'll encase it in like a block of ice. And then they just drop another Ford Fiesta onto the top of it. And they just like crush it. And then like, it goes like, and then they're both like, "Whoa, Chunks."
Chunks.
And so you see that happen. Like right as you like push the cart in. And like, as you close the door, like it crashes down and you hear him go, "Chunks." And you've seen that episode so many times that you time it perfectly. You say "Chunks" along with them. So all 3 of you say it. So you close the door
and rules.
And you just like skedaddle the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I get out of there.
You get back to your hotel. You walk into your room 666. You walk in and like pull, like, you know, you're the Ramada Inn employee, you know, costume off. There's like a trash bag waiting for you. There's like a note that just says like, and like you pick, like, it's kind of hard to read because it's got a little kind of small. And so you pick it up and like, look at it. And it says like, "Hey, buddy, if you're reading this, then you were successful. Way to go."
Yeah.
The first time's always the hardest when it comes to killing. Anyway, just drop everything in this trash bag and we'll take care of the rest. Thanks, buddy. And then it says, "From Bill the Dill." There's an arrow indicating for you to turn the thing over. Do you?
Yeah, of course.
You turn it over, and on the other side is on the top of it, it just says, "Bill the Dill's Babe of the Month."
Oh no.
And you're like, what? And like, you just kind of like throw it down. You're like, I don't, whatever. So you put everything into the trash bag and you just like fucking leave.
Yeah.
You fly back to Los Angeles that very day.
I don't take a bus.
No, you're like, you're so desperate to get out of there that you're like, fuck this. Yeah. I'm getting out. So even though times are, you know, a little tight, you're like, I'm just going to tighten that belt. And so you fly back, get home that very night, crawl into bed. You dream of a howling void. Right. You wake up the next morning and you kind of like look over at like your, what do you call it? Like a table that you have next to your bed, you know, a nightstand. And there's an envelope. It says, "Aaron." Do you open it?
Yeah, I open it.
You open it up. Inside are 3 tickets to go to the Masters.
Okay.
You crawl out of bed, you know, you're like, holy shit. You look over and on the calendar that you have next to your like desk or whatever, there's all of these like stand-up gigs written in there that you have coming up. And you're like,
oh, wow.
You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You walk outside to get like the newspaper or whatever.
Yeah.
And you kind of like walk outside and you pick it up and you look around. And these 2 kids that live in your, what do you call?
Like neighborhood.
Yeah. They walk past. They're like these just 2 punk kids, these 2 fucking punk kids. And your whole thing is like, look, man, like I was a kid too, but like these guys are bad news. They are very mean. Normally when they see you, they just make like farting noises until you walk away. They've done it to you every single time that you've seen them.
Okay. I mean, I'm probably used to that at this point. My life has been ruined by farts.
Yep. They walk past you, they look up and see you and they go, "Oh, hey, Mr. Aaron." They go, "Good to see you." I keep walking.
Man, this is my Biff Tannen wax my truck moment.
Yep. So that year you go to the Masters, you bring your brother Jared, and you also have another plus one. Who would you bring?
Oh, man. To the Masters? I don't know. I'd have to think about it. There's got to be, there's a guy. I know who I'd ask. His name is Matt. He runs an auto repair dealership. Loves golf. I met him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So Matt comes with you.
Matt McDavid
comes with you. You guys are at the Masters watching the game, farting up a storm. No one's doing shit. I love Matt McDavid,
and I know he would be farting too.
Yeah. All 3 of you guys. And so you're there watching, and they get to like, you go to like the last hole 18.
Yeah.
And, you're there watching, and Dex Cannon goes to like line up his like final shot or whatever. And he's having a one hell of a game.
Great. Very happy for Dex.
So it's like, if you know, all he has to do is sink this like 2-foot putt and
he wins the Masters.
And then he looks up and he sees you and he goes, "You son of a bitch." And he throws his putter at you. It goes through your fucking head.
What the fuck? Come on. I got him back. I got him back in the game.
He's the only one. Right. He's the only one who remembers how reality was before.
Oh, Jesus. Why?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He's the only one. And so he, even though like reality has changed, he still went through all of the like the trauma that happened to him. And so he's, and then the fact that reality has now since been rewritten has like really knocked a screw loose in him. And so looking up and seeing you just made him, it was the wrong place, the wrong thing to see, dude.
Man.
He threw it.
He launched his putter through my head.
Yeah. And those forearms rippled in the morning sun when he did it. It went right through your fucking head, dude. And you kind of like fall over and like you kind of like slump against a tree so you can see what's going on. And then after he does it, there's like dead silence. And then his caddy comes up and just hands him a new putter. He sinks the putt and he's the new Masters champion. It's the comeback of the fucking year. Dex Cannons. People are so psyched by this like redemption story that he just doesn't get in trouble for killing you.
God damn it, Dex. Man, that sucks.
Oh, and then like at the last thing you hear is people chanting, "Dex is back. Dex is back." And then you die.
I'm dead. My brain is plastered to the tree behind me.
Yeah.
Fuck that. That sucks.